Is this Survivor? What? Bro, are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.
Hello, everybody! Welcome to Survivor Buffs, Blindsides, and Banter Podcast. It's the podcast made by superfans, with superfans, for superfans. I'm your host, Buckles, and with me I've got my mate, Mac. Mac, how you doing?
Buckles, my man, I'm going fantastic. The world is a good place. You know, I'm on holidays. I'm up in Queensland, sunny Queensland. Not warm Queensland, just sunny. I'm up near Bribie Island for 2 weeks and with my family, and my brother and his family is having a great time. I've got a villa overlooking or over the lagoon. We walk out our deck and the water's there. It's perfect. So I'm having a great time. I've left the wet of Sydney and I've joined the sunny state of Queensland. So that's great. How are you going?
Mate, I just got back from Queensland this morning and it was fucking miserable. It was miserable.
Yeah, you took the weather with you.
The weather was horrible. It's just as bad down here as it is up there. I'm lucky I got my heater on, so I'm nice and toasty, but outside is cold. And dude, I'm glad that you're up there because this is our first like official YouTube podcast, isn't it? Like people can see our faces. Instead of just hearing our voices, they can see that I've got a face for radio.
Oh, absolutely you do. But no, it's exciting. The first time we can officially say this podcast will be on YouTube. If you don't want to listen to us in audio, go watch the video. I'm sure we'll have a lot of fun. It's hard to sort of work out how animated you can be with my hands. What do I do with my hands? Just hold them like this.
We're not used to looking at each other when we talk. But, we're just looking over into space.
Yeah, I'm gazing into your eyes. I'm getting lost. So, yeah, it should be a lot of fun. A little bit different, but there'll be some minor tweaks along the way. And if this is not on YouTube, well, you know why? Because we probably stuffed it up and something's gone wrong.
Anyway, you can see the beautiful Mac here in person. And if I make a weird face, then I'll probably crack the camera. So let's
give yourself some credit, mate.
Yeah, no, let's just make sure we just don't get too cartoon-like.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Okay. Well, I guess the more beers I'm having while I'm doing this, yeah, the wilder it could get. So, yeah, stay tuned.
Cheers, boys.
Yeah, that's it. Let's talk some Survivor. What do you think?
Ah, why not? This was an interesting episode. I want to talk. Actually, we're talking about pretty boys. All right, we're talking about you being a pretty boy. Charlie, he's a bit of a pretty boy. He's a cute kid. Like, and he's lost so much weight in his face. He's starting to get a bit like elf-like. You know, that funny smile.
He's got a great bar. I will say, Charlie is having a great season, and this is probably his crowning achievement episode. This sort of, we see a lot of Charlie's episodes, a lot of his perspective, what he's been doing, and I guess when you hear his intentions about how he's playing the game, it comes across as a really great player, and he's really elevated himself to the top of the charts, I would say, in this season as the one running the show at the moment. Yeah, him and Maria seem to be a couple, but he's sort of pulling the strings and undermining Maria a bit behind the scenes. So I think he is sort of setting himself up for the end game. I don't think he's going to win still, and I guess we can talk about reasons why later, but something just tells me he's not going to win. But he's playing a great game. And this was really centered around Charlie, an episode where Venus, our main character, well, not main character, our biggest antagonist of the season. Maybe even I'll take that back because it's cute. But a wild character that people love. She didn't get a lot of airtime for a boot episode. So, because Charlie sort of stole the limelight, I thought.
Yeah, Charlie's stolen the limelight the last few episodes. He's definitely come out. I'm actually not 100% sure I like this. I'm not 100% sure I like this move. Really? I think this move has more for Ben than Charlie in my mind. Venus looked like she was willing to work with Charlie. Venus has no chance of winning the game. She's a number with something. Now, I completely blame Venus for how she handled this. And the reason that Charlie voted her off. But I'm just not 100% sure that this was the best move for Charlie. As you just talked about, I'm not 100% sure he's winning this game. And I think this might have had something to do with it. This was so much better for Ben. Venus takes a spot in the final three from Ben. Charlie's a big player. He's not going for the GOAT spot, he's going for one of the players' spots. So getting Venus out is reasonably futile for him. Getting Maria out, not great either. But say getting a Q out, which from the looks of things and from the sounds of things, Q might have more of a game than we realized at the final three. I'm starting to think, and I've put a lot of thought into this over the weekend, I'm not sure if I like this move for Charlie.
I see. I'm probably on the different side of the fence. I think it was fine. It wasn't like, oh, it's his best move, because he didn't. I don't think he benefits too greatly. But what he set up this episode, which is I think the best part of his game to date, is he's setting up Maria and Q as this pair going forward. It's not Maria and Charlie now. It's Maria and Q in everyone's eyes, because Charlie's painted this facade of Maria and Q. They're the tightest pair. They're running the game. You know, she didn't want to actively pick Q for the reward, but she sort of did it without saying it. So they've really piled on that. Made it seem like that was a decision that she wanted to make. And it's Maria and Q. And I really just see Maria and Q as this threat at six and at five, where everyone's on board with that. Everyone's happy with those two going next. And while Charlie may not win, I do think he's sort of set himself up for a final four almost guarantee at this point.
I definitely agree with that. Q and Maria as a couple is awesome for Charlie and for Ben. To be truthful, like it's good for everyone, because it gives everyone sort of someone to aim at. And like, there's no reason to go for Liz or Kenzie next week. You've got to go for a Maria or a Q, because you can't have a duo this close to the end. Yeah. And yes, Charlie played this so well. And I'm saying is I'm not 100% sure the move is right, but how he played it was beautiful. And how he has been playing is beautiful. My scaredness is, do the other players see this? And if he was to get to the end, can he bring this up? Or is it just going to be overshadowed by Q, who's completed moves? By Maria, who's completed moves? By possibly even a Liz, who technically has a move that she will be able to bring up? Yes, she's going to have to fight a little bit for it, but Liz has a move. Charlie has got nothing. He's got a lot of subtle little things that no official move. And this jury needs a move. This jury is such a vengeful, angry, bitter jury.
Yeah,
they need something to support for them to be happy. I don't think any of them are angry at Charlie specifically.
No.
He's got that in his corner, but is being likable in this season going to be enough?
Well, I mean, you say a specific move, and yeah, while he hasn't been seen as the arbitrator of the big move, Maria got the credit for the Tiffany move. But what we've seen this episode especially was him sort of actively pushing Maria as it was her move. She made this move. Like, she's done all these things. She's pushing Maria ahead of him, which I think is a great strategy, but does it get you the win at the end? And that's sort of maybe where it will come undone. Like, we've seen in this episode, I've got a few things here. Like, he literally says, it wasn't my move, it was Maria. Yeah, everyone was the people that voted Tiff out, which was there's a few of them, they're all a part of it, but it was Maria's move, and she, even Maria claimed it herself. So there's that. They then sort of pile on Maria's choices when she chose Q at the reward, and you know, why she didn't just say who she wanted to take, which, you know, was probably wrong. And then they sort of, I already mentioned this, he builds up Q and Maria as his target going forward. So he's sort of done all these little things that will get him a better spot, but they were not moves, but subtle moves can be great. Do they win you the game? I'll probably say no, honestly. Like, you do need like that cherry on top of the cake. You know, he's built the cake, he's sort of iced it, and he's done really well because he's done all these nice things, but he's missing that little piece on top.
Yeah, we talked about this last week. It's all about getting this to final tribal. You need to bring your moves and be able to explain them in a final tribal. I genuinely believe Charlie can explain them, but he can explain them as a whole lot of subtle moves. No official, I took out this person, I cut this person's throat sort of thing move. But he gets a Maria out all of a sudden.
That's the thing. If you can cut your number one ally, which everyone's trying to do this season, if you're the man that does that and effectively does it and still moves forward, that's the move that everyone wants. Everyone's wanting to kill their number one season. So, yeah.
But now let's question that even a little bit. Is it bad that he's pushing Q and Maria as this duo instead of him and Maria?
Why? Until what, last week, I think everyone knew it was Charlie Maria. I don't think it was too big a secret. So I don't think it's – maybe he obviously wants to switch it so he can vote out Maria and sort of be part of the other people. But effectively, by pushing two people ahead of himself, it buys you two more votes because it's something everyone can jump on board with. Kenzie, Liz, Ben can all say, hey, like – yeah, Maria and Q, they're the tightest couple. We need to get them out. They're strong people in the challenges. We need to get them out. So when you have two people ahead of you in the final six, that's such a strong place to be because it sort of locks up this final four and it's in everyone's best interest to go with that four to the end. So like, I feel like that four will dictate the next two votes. I think Maria and Q are toast.
Okay. Now I want to bring you, is it smart to get Maria out first or Q out first? Because I think this is a big thing because if he gets a Maria out first, Q is back to having no one. He's back to being a loser that has no one, that everyone's yet. Does he then skate through to the end?
Mm.
Because all of a sudden, whoever got Maria out's the biggest target. Or should he get Q out first, probably piss off Maria, meaning that there's going to be a comeback of some sort, and then get Maria out at five?
Yeah, well, I guess like you said, if he gets Q out first, then it's sort of this active move against Maria because he knows Maria and Q are tight. And if he's the one making this uprising with Kenzie and Liz to get Q out, Maria would feel betrayed, I'm sure, and might try and get vengeance on Charlie. Like, will she get Charlie out? Probably not, but I think she would feel that way. Whereas if she went for Maria first, I feel like there's no downside to that. The only downside, rather, is that Q could go on a immunity streak, but we've seen him as this average challenge man. Like, he's not that good. As much as he thinks he can beat Hunter and he win all these challenges, he hasn't done it. He's not winning anything.
He's won a reward, that's it.
Yeah, so I just don't think that's a viable threat to consider, really. Like, but when you're at the final six and there's too many challenges to go and you've got this ex-athlete, I'm sure it will be taken into consideration. Do I think he can win two challenges in a row? No. I don't think he has it in him.
Charlie could.
Charlie could. He's proven to be it. But I mean, Q's been fueled twice in a row. Yeah. He had the Applebee's. He had the pizza this episode. So maybe he is on a full tank. Maybe he's been tanking the challenges. Maybe he's not been trying his hardest. So, you know, if I see that in the confessionals from Q saying I wasn't trying until now, and then runs the game, I do think he has a chance in the end. So, but it's a risk I'm willing to take, and Charlie should be willing to take. Take Murray out first, leave Q in the game. He's a universal hated person, and like he must go. Surely Q is he going to the end?
Oh, I don't know, but like, man, if he wins, this is like, can you even compare this to Gabon? This is even more.
That's
even more wild than Gabon. Like, Gabon was like a lot of characters with not a lot of strategy. This is characters with strategy.
With some wild cards in there.
With some wild cards. I think let's talk about what you said there. Like, Q's been fueled. Q,
please, mate.
You got pizza, mate. You got pizza. Liz didn't. Oh, do you want a scissor, paper, rock to who goes first?
What did you think about this from Maria? Like, is this the worst thing you can do? Oh, you want to do it? Yeah, no. What is to be so politically correct to say, you know, beat around a bush and say, oh, I was just trying to be fair with everyone. And yeah, it is so trans. Like, you can see right through what she was trying to do. No one bought the BS. Is this just a bad move from Maria? Was it better? Like, she just said, I wanted to choose Q.
This was horrible, but I genuinely believe she was sort of struggling with it, trying to work out a way to do it. I genuinely believe she was going for Q the entire time. She doesn't need Liz.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't need Liz. She doesn't want Liz. She has what she thinks is the numbers, the three Seeger and Q. So she's quite comfortable. Look, still jury. In my mind, I think you just bring Liz just for the fucking jury vote. Like, genuinely, you're not going to fuck. Q's just eaten. He's not going to be pissed. He knows the game enough. People have said maybe Q would be pissed. I really don't think he would. He knows the game enough to know you don't bring your closest allies on reward with you because, like, you want to split them up. So I genuinely believe that this wouldn't have been an issue. You bring Liz just for the jury threat, just for the jury vote in the future.
Yeah,
whether you're going to work with her or not. I don't think Maria was ever bringing Liz. I think she was always bringing Q, or she just could not decide. It's just genuinely that simple. She's hasn't had a whole lot of food. She hasn't had a whole lot of sleep. You got to remember these elements affect people in different ways, and they do things they might not normally do. I feel like she makes this decision in the outside world. She's like, bam, I'll take you, Q. I'm sorry, Liz. It's just the way it works. But because she is just that little bit tired, that little bit hungry, etc., even though she just ate Applebee's, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
But she just couldn't make the decision. And it's such a bad move. It's not helping her with votes in the future from anyone, from Venus, from Liz, etc. But I just don't think she could have made the decision at the time. I don't think this is 100% on her. Like, she didn't want it to come out like this. It just happened.
Yeah, I just think whether you can make it, just be clear and just pick something then. Because I think the way when you come off wishy-washy and you're trying to please everyone, no one's pleased. No one's happy with this. Like, it makes you look even worse than if you just picked two people from the start. So just got to go with it. Just say, this is the people I want. Suck it up, princess, if you're not there. Like, you just sometimes you got to be ruthless. And I think, yeah, trying to appease everyone is the worst way to do it. So wasn't good, Maria. And Kenzie ever says it. If you wanted to pick your number one, just do it. And we wouldn't even care. Yeah. We wouldn't care. But the fact that you sort of hung out the carrot and dangled the carrot for us and then didn't choose us, it was like, well, you made us feel even worse. So, yeah, Paul from Maria.
All right, Mac, I'm sorry. I've just made the decision. So we've got Adam Ritter next week and Sam Green the week after. I think your vote. No, I'm not taking you with me. Sorry, mate. No, done. Cut. You're out. You know, I'm not taking you with me. It's just going to be me and Adam, me and Sam. You're gone.
Why couldn't you be more, you know, trying to at least dangle the carrot for me, make it seem like I could be there?
Like, I want to give it to who's the best podcast. I want to give it to who really wants it the most, who needs to be on the podcast the most. Oh, Adam's, he's so vibrant. He's so good. He's got such a different opinion to us. And then there's you. And then there's, I think he might have to scissors, paper, rock for next episode, mate.
Okay, right. Okay. Well, this gives me a chance. Do I feel better? I don't feel better. No. Just tell me how it is.
Mac, you're fucking off.
Yeah, that's fine. Mac, that's fine. Kick me off my own podcast. Go for it. I dare you.
Oh, shit. You've got all the passwords. Okay. No, look, it was a shit fight by Maria. This was not a good move. This has lost her jury votes. This is,
yes.
I'm not saying that her and Liz had a great relationship, but either way, like last week we heard that Maria and Kenzie tried to give up their spot to Liz and Q said no. Like, and then you go back and choose Q, who's Liz's biggest enemy, who's Venus's biggest enemy, who's Kenzie's biggest enemy. Everyone fucking hates Q and you bring him along. He would have been completely fine. It confuses me why she went down this
No, I understand. It's fine that she chose Q. There's nothing wrong with choosing that person. If you want to choose him, just pick him. Don't try and suck up to everyone. Just pick him. You're saying we hate Q, so let's not pick. No, if I want to pick Q, I want to pick Q. There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't know where I went with that. I literally just contradicted myself.
Yeah, you just got to stick with it. And it's you're like, right, this is you're my right, game. Right. I'm choosing who I want to choose.
Yeah.
And I deal with the consequences.
Game. Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't know where I went with that.
That's fine. I'll pick you back up.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, you can stay. You can stay. I won't put you in.
I made it on to next week. Man, yeah, thank
you
God.
You made it. Yeah, I know.
What would I do without this podcast? Enjoy my holiday, probably.
All right. That was. I want to come back. So we talked about Maria. Like Maria wins. She takes everyone on their reward. Blah blah blah. But before Maria wins immunity, there was serious consideration for voting Maria off this episode after the Tiffany blindside. And we've got Kenzie, Venus, and I'm assuming Liz. I don't know if we actually saw Liz, but they're all like really pushing on Charlie.
Mm.
Like, we got to get Maria off. We got to get Maria off. Now, we get a lot from Charlie in confessionals where he's talking about, he's thinking maybe it's a good idea. maybe we get a lot from Charlie about, oh, maybe I should vote Maria off. Maybe it's time. I don't think he had any.
No?
Any. I don't think he was ever going to do that. I think, or there was no, there was, if you watch his confessionals, there's no actual confidence in his answer. Oh, I should vote Maria off. He's there thinking, I could, we could do this, or I could vote my main ally off Maria, or I could do this, or maybe it's the right time. He never actually gives us any direct, I'm actually thinking about doing this. Like, this is in my sights. And I think it's because he votes Maria off. That's the target away from him. He gets a big move because he just voted his person off and he's still in the top six with the biggest move and no one in front of him.
See, I completely disagree. I think he was genuinely keen on this move until she won the immunity. I think a season happens and the editors go back. They know what happens, right? So they sort of work backwards and they try to tell the story. So for me, this whole episode was a setup for Maria's downfall. Now, is it next week or is it in the, you know, does she come fifth in the first bit of the finale? I don't know. But I think showing this side of Charlie, showing that he's willing to cut Maria, it will pay off. He will do it. It will happen.
It was never going to be this episode whether she won or not.
Because she was immune. It was
Why. It wouldn't have happened this episode. We talk about Charlie. He's smart. He's got subtle moves. This would have been the stupidest move, voting Maria off in this episode for him. At final seven, he goes into the final six with just cutting his biggest ally, as we've talked about, like he needs to do to actually win the game. He goes in. He's now target number one. In the final six, he probably has to win out to win the game. So, yes, I do believe you're right. This is leading up to a storyline where eventually he cuts Maria or something goes to shit between the two of them. But it was never happening this episode. Like, anyone could have seen that from the start. Anyone?
Yeah.
The game, mate.
Yeah, I think a lot of his confessionals were, maybe it wasn't going to happen this episode, but he is actively thinking about it. Whereas Maria, we've not heard one thing to say, I'm going to cut Charlie. So to me, that says, like, it's going to happen. He's setting this up. And this is an episode we needed to see to understand why he does it next time, sort of thing.
No. Do you genuinely believe we're going to see the amount that we've seen Charlie last episode and this episode, and he's going to get cut before the finale?
No, I think Charlie makes. Yeah. I'm saying he's to me he's locked in final four. I think
locked
he's
in final four.
I think Maria and Q are the next two to go. I just sort of.
Did we see this much Jesse at this time of the season? Because
Jesse was
final
pretty
six
prominent.
Final six is the Cody move, but Charlie's beaten the amount of confessionals in an episode. He beat Q, and before that was Tony from like Kagiyan.
Was this the most ever? Is that what you're saying?
Last episode was. I think he got 16 or 19 or something. He got in one episode.
Okay, and he's getting a massive spike.
He's getting it's like these last 2 weeks have been like crazy to the point like I know that he's getting the winner's edit without the winner's edit.
So that sort of edit nowadays is the final four fire making loss, isn't it? Isn't that the person who's like the fallen god? Yeah. Rock goddess.
The Carson, the Jesse. Yeah.
The one that's going to win until they lose at fire. And maybe that's Charlie this season. Because all season I've said he's probably not going to win. Because he just didn't... For me, he hasn't had that... I don't know. It's not about him. It just says, I'm not a winner. And I'm not saying he's a loser, but he just doesn't have that
sorry, Charlie.
Sorry, he's a good guy.
You're not a winner. You're not a winner, mate.
He just doesn't scream, I win the game to me. So there's...
Okay, well then, who fucking wins the game?
If you're asking me right now, I think it's Kenzie.
Yeah. I
think Kenzie wins. I think she says, you look at her and she just looks like a winner. You know, she has that pizzazz, that feel about her that says, I'm going to win the game. Her confessionals are good. Like, is everything about her? She's so likable. Like, I don't know. It just feels like she's going to win.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Who do you think at this
stage? I agree. I think Kenzie I think Kenzie as well. By the way, shout out to Kenzie. She's pregnant. She came out this week on social. I think it was this week she came out. I don't know. I saw her today and yesterday. I'm not on socials often enough. But, yeah, she's pregnant. She popping in September.
So, what have we become? What has this podcast become? Some sort of a baby announcement thing? Are we doing a gender reveal here too? Well, what are we doing?
Yeah, well, I'm just congratulating. This is the first time I've properly talked about it. Kenzie, yeah. I reckon Kenzie's got it. Look, the truth is I'm going for Q now.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, dude, I'm actually genuinely starting to see a world where Q wins. And, Gabler. Or a Gabon. Like, these are all things that come into mind when I think of a Q win. And good things. These are all good things. Gabler is an awesome guy, and Gabon was an awesome season.
Okay. Gabler was not a crazy man like Q, and Gabon was a crazy season, but Bob was not a crazy winner.
Definitely not.
A lot of parallels there. We haven't had.
The season itself is 2.0. Whether the winner finishes that off is another question.
Yeah. The season, the feel of the season is just, chaotic craziness with weird characters. But the straight man won that season. The normal guy, the one that was sort of congenial with everyone, he was the winner.
So Kenzie's Bob.
The other one is Ben. So
Ben's not winning this.
Ben is this guy that is so likable from the start of the season. All we've seen is how likable is Ben. Everyone loves Ben. You know, him and Charlie doing the music thing. All of Sega loves him. He goes on the journeys with Liz and Barnu, and they all love him. And Ben's this great guy. We haven't seen a lot of strategic stuff from Ben at all. His confessionals are pretty limited, but he has that personality that people want to vote for probably because he's so likable. So if he's there with Liz and Q, Ben wins.
And the truth is, I think Ben has a lot more strategy than we're seeing. Really do. He's like, he seems to be a part of very specific conversations, especially with the Sega 3, and he seems to bring something up that's very valid in all these conversations. Yes, we're not hearing it in confessionals, but I think we're hearing it in their conversations. I actually think Ben has quite a strategic mind. He's just, I guess, maybe more emotional and doesn't show it as often.
Well, I think the strategy we saw from Ben this episode was probably the most important part of it, where towards the end, just before Tribal Council, he's talking to Charlie. He's like, we need to get the chaos out. We need to get Venus out. She's the chaos. And whether that swings Charlie enough to jump that way, I don't know. But we saw that from Ben. So that maybe that's something, a little nugget to say he had a little bit of agency. He had the right read on the situation. He knew he was going home, and he convinced Charlie to do the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I completely agree. That was the biggest point. And the truth is, I think when we talk about buffs coming up later in the podcast, that might be a precursor.
Wow.
For what's spoiler happening alert with mine. Hot take, guys.
It'd be crazy to give it to Ben.
Really?
Yes.
It is very hot. I haven't definitely given it to Ben.
Right.
I promise you there was a lot of thought between the two of them. There was a lot of thought because I actually feel like this move, Venus going out, was better for Ben than it was for Charlie.
Oh, well, let's save that for the buffs section. We have to talk about Venus. We have to talk about, the person Venus who got voted out.
Hey, she got an idol. She got an idol. Hey, how have we not brought up idols this late in the podcast?
Look, I'm a bit of a movie guy, and my favorite type of genre, not favorite type, but I love like time loop movies where someone like relives the same day or same hour and tries to change things.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah, that type of thing where, it's inevitable what happens. I think this season is one of these time loop movies. Q's going to go home. I've got it on my pocket. I'm not going to play it. Q is safe, and you go back to back to back. Three times in a row, Hunter, Tiff, Venus, all with eyes in their pocket, all think Q's going home. This smokescreen is still there. Like, they can't see through it. It won't happen to me, they're thinking. But it happens time and time again. What are they doing? Venus especially. She knows that she's the target from the other side. She knows this. It's a final seven. Play the idol. How many times have I got to say this? I feel like a broken record. Every week I come on the podcast, play the idols. You'll find another one if you need it. You don't always need another one. Just get through the vote. If you know your name is coming up, do it. Or just shot in the dark first, and maybe you'll get through without it. You've got an idol at six. Bang. You're into five. Come on, Venus. It was dumb. You needed to play the idol. You knew they were coming for you. You're fighting Maria. You're fighting Q at Tribal Council. You're having fights with these people. They must be voting for you. Come on.
Okay. Am I wrong? Okay. I'm going to be devil's advocate here. I'm gonna throw this back at you. Okay. Yes, I completely agree. If you feel like you're in trouble, play your idol. You're right. She was the target from the other side. She should have played the idol. But at the same time, everyone's talking about, oh, play your idol, play your idol, play your idol. People that have their idol and use it the best don't always play it that very first time. They plan, they read, they try to work it out. They think this, they try to outsmart the other side, and they're like, okay, oh, I've just got the votes by one. Bang. She thinks she's got Charlie. She thought she played that right. She obviously didn't.
Didn't.
She had four. It was fair enough that she didn't play her idol if she was correct. Either way, she's fucked. She gets voted out next time anyway. If she plays the idol right, that's a move for her. She gets voted out next time anyway. All of a sudden, Venus has got the most moves in the season.
Yeah, well, that's the idol gave her enough power to change her destiny, I guess. Yeah, exactly. We've seen it from the start. Like, she was on a no-win situation. But this gave her something she could have done. And if you play it at the right time, the jury loves that more than anything. And a correct idol play is so huge. And I know it's like, oh, well, if you play it wrong, it's even worse. But you know what? You're in a losing situation anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Play it.
Hunter well and truly needed to play his idol.
Yeah.
Okay. Jem, would you go back and say that Jem should have played her idol?
Yes, because it was the first trouble council.
So what? As soon as you get an idol, you just play it very first time, every single time. You don't wait and hold your breath till you think you're good.
If you're unsure, how could she not be?
Jem wasn't unsure.
Let's not go back to episode four.
She had alliance from the start. Hunter needed to play it. Tiffany, if Tiffany thought about, if Tiffany didn't just think about what was in front of her and thought about what's the best move in the game to do right now, and that is get me out, Tiffany should have played it. Okay? Venus, I completely agree. She should have played it. She made the wrong move, blah, blah, blah. But in her mind, if she did have Charlie, which she thought she did, her not playing it is just as smart because all of a sudden she's into six with an idol. Okay? Her not having Charlie is the bad move here, not her not playing the idol.
Okay, we'll get to that conversation in a second. But what's worse than playing...
That's the whole conversation. The bad move was her read on Charlie, not playing the idol. Because if she has Charlie, she doesn't need the idol. She's wasted an idol. All of a sudden, she goes into six with an idol. What's everyone... You don't need to just grab an idol and then play it straight away. What if Hunter played the idol that very first tribal just because he was a little bit worried? His name could have come up.
Would have guaranteed himself the safety, which was the power of the idol. But what's worse than an idol at final seven that's played incorrectly? The worst thing you can do with an idol is play it at final five when you don't need it because the jury hates that because you've done nothing with the idol. You've had this power to do something and you chose to be so safe, you did nothing. And if you're not getting voted for at final five, that's even worse and you cannot win the game. So it's a lose situation for her. So you do something. Anyway,
do something.
Let's talk about where we're...
Threaten the idol and get implicit immunity.
but that's a move. That's a move.
That's a move, but then you can't get implicit immunity with Q in the game.
No, exactly right.
It's always an option.
But I guess, like you said, she lost Charlie, and it's that conversation we saw where she talks to Charlie and implies that somebody has something, and there's this mystery around what it is, who has it. This is where it went south for Venus. To me, I have an opinion. What do you think she should have done in this conversation?
Told him straight up. Either tell him or don't tell him. Tell him or don't tell him. Don't half-ass it. Maria, choose or don't choose. No, don't half-ass it. This is in both. The two worst moves of this episode was Venus and how she brought that up, and Maria and how she brought. And how she chose. And it was both because they half-assed it. They didn't do it. If you're going to put your faith in Charlie, fucking show him.
Mm.
Okay? Or don't and think that it's the right move and whip it out at tribal if you're worried.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you didn't either. Like,
and when you're... Didn't either. Yeah.
when you're trying to build relationships, especially for Venus, who's sort of had nobody, like she's had no number one. She doesn't really have an alliance. No, I think she, who does she think she's had? She's had Randon, who got Maddie backed. And that's really, she has no one tight to her. So if you want to build a tight ally, which you can do, it's still final seven. There's still enough time to build someone to go to the end with, to build a partner to run the game. You need to give them tangible information. And when you have it yourself, when you can physically show them, it's not just my word. It's I can physically show you something. Get it out. I have an idol. We can use this, Charlie. Be on my side. Let's run the game together. And if you're Charlie, if Venus is coming to you with this plan, why wouldn't you take that? The biggest go to the game is coming to you and saying they want to work with you. This is perfect.
I'll
go to the end with Venus.
Exactly.
So it was all there, and she was just so coy about it. And when you create more uncertainty in a game full of uncertainty, who wants that?
Yeah.
Who wants that in the game?
Now, if Charlie went to Venus and said, okay, I'm scared right now because this is an unknown, instead of actually went to Venus and said, I'm scared right now. This is an unknown. I'm thinking about targeting you because you're giving me something.
This
is a lot. This is just my logical mind thinking. And obviously Venus probably doesn't respond to this too well, but he just goes up and he's just like, bam. And then Venus is like, okay, I've got this idol. It's like Venus understands. She handles it logically. Bam. I've got this idol. Bam, these two together, and they just run the rest of the game. That is awesome. That is the way to go. Instead of Charlie, I think do we class it as Charlie played this wrong, not being able to get the information out of her and beating around the bush too much, getting the information out of her?
He asked her point blank, didn't he? Didn't we see him ask her and say, hey, who's got what? Like, tell me. I haven't rewatched it,
It's enough that it's pretty logical.
Without trying to be forceful. And I think if you try to be forceful, it's also bad. So I thought he played, it wasn't his fault. I don't put the blame on Charlie.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you?
No. I just asked the question.
Yeah.
Ask the question. One thing, Ben mentions that, like at Tribal Council, that one crew that's voting together one episode then isn't voting together the next episode, like next tribal council.
Yeah.
Do you see this? Like, so he's bringing up voting blocks. Mm. Do you see this as voting blocks?
Not really.
I think this is one of the seasons that's definitely, I want to call this a voting block season. This is more of a alliances and like shifting alliances, definitely, but it's not. Like Maria and Q have pretty much voted together the entire post-merge.
And Charlie. Yeah, they're the core power. And realistically,
Ben as well.
I don't think he might have got one wrong.
I'm just trying to think. But, and then you got sort of people that jump in and jump out. So they're sort of bringing it in. So it's realistically, this is just the Q Alliance, the Plus One Alliance that's just running this game. It's just been taken over by Maria instead of Q.
Yeah, it just seems like Maria and Charlie, and they're sort of, they got some people who are, like, they're fluid with everyone, and they're sort of picking and choosing, depending on their target, I suppose, who to tell, who not to tell. We can't tell, we can't tell Kenzie if we're voting for Tiff. We can't tell Liz if we're voting for Tevin. Tevin, because she did that. We can't tell everyone, but we can tell this person for this vote, and then maybe we'll keep them in the dark. We'll tell someone else. So it is a little bit like that. I wouldn't call it voting blocks. I don't think it's that fluid because Maria and Charlie are on the right side every time. So to have voting blocks, you do need to be on the wrong side sometimes, which we haven't really seen.
Yeah, we haven't.
Something I want to bring up. Is we see all throughout the season, people want to claim credit for things. And a bit of left field here because we haven't really discussed it too much this episode, but is there a way to claim credit for moves without increasing the target on yourself? Is there a way to sort of, we see Maria take the credit for the Tiff boot and then all of a sudden she's the target. Her name's on everyone's lips. Kenzie, Venus, Liz. Yeah, Charlie's talking about her. Everyone sort of says, Maria's in charge. She's done this big move. Let's take her out. Is there a way to sort of do that without becoming that target, do you think?
I'm trying to think. Well, Liz is a perfect example. Not that she wanted to. But let something bigger happen at tribal council. She gets Tevin out. Realistically, that's Liz's move, but Q threatens to quit, and that sort of overshadows it. So she will be able to go to final tribal council, and she will be able to say that's her move and be able to take credit for it. And I genuinely believe everyone knows that deep down, realistically, she does get the credit for it. But it was overshadowed by something else. Other than that, like, I'd love to know your thoughts, because I'm drawing a blank here.
Well, if you look back sort of like throughout Survivor history, there's been some seasons where, well, many seasons, but let's say nowadays, but where people can do a lot of things and not be targeted still. And I think the two biggest ways this happens is when it's an us versus them mentality. When you can divide the tribe into my side and your side. And on my side, I make the decisions and I get what I want and we vote them out and then they sort of work down the line. And those sort of people pick Redemption Island, Boston Rob sort of thing. Yeah. Runt's side, it's us and them. We can't talk to them. So that sort of gets you to a point in the game where there's not that many left anyway. And then if you have the numbers in your sort of alliance, you can run to the end. Yeah. The other way is you sort of need those loyal players who are sort of indebted to you forever. They'll never turn on you.
The loyal dumb players?
You could call them dumb. I would say naive. I would say naive is a nicer word.
Okay. You're so political.
Perhaps
correct.
Young and naive, especially when you get someone who doesn't know the game and they're just sort of there and you take them under your wing and you give them a home. And if I look at like the two main ones are Kim and Boss and Rob, where they sort of had control because it was us and them, and they had their loyal people around them, insulating them, essentially getting them to the end. I think with the rise of the super fan nowadays, the naive players are dead. Like, no one comes in this game not knowing what it is, not knowing how to play because of there's so many super fans. So I think this is probably why we can't – this is probably why, especially in the last, I don't know, 10 seasons, like, the biggest threat is always – whoever makes the move becomes the biggest threat, right? Yeah. And they're always targeted because I think there's no naive players anymore. No one wants to be that loyal soldier under them. And I do think in this era of – not so much this season because we have seen a lot of split votes. Like, it's been quite close. And yes, that can be for flushing idols, but I do think there's other plans. But when there's no us versus them mentality anymore, when everyone's pretty much on board with voting blocks, fluid gameplay, you can't create this me versus them. It's everyone's together and we're just going to work it out vote by vote. So when you have that and you do a big move, you become this big target that everyone wants. So it makes it a lot harder to dictate the game and still make it far to the end.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, because I completely agree. Like, the naive player is over.
Yeah.
It is, like, even, like, let's talk about the least biggest fans of the game in the new era. Cody, Sifu.
Yeah, perfect.
like these are probably the players that we're sort of thinking, well, actually, Sifu, I think he might have been bigger, more of a fan than we realized, but... like, these are probably the most naive, to a certain extent, players to the game of Survivor, and even them, they're not naive.
No.
I'm trying to think, there is no real way to sort of make the move yourself without... So I want to... Let's talk about D last season, and D tells Julie, bam, play your idol. Julie makes the move. It's Julie's move, when realistically it's Dee's move.
Yeah.
Dee takes credit for it at Final Tribal Council. If Julie was there, Dee takes credit for it at Final Tribal Council. Dee gets that move off Julie, pulls that off Julie. Don't get me wrong, Julie still probably wins that season or has a really good chance because Julie was fucking awesome. But Dee can probably pull that move off Julie because it's pretty much I've saved you.
Yeah.
So I guess the only thing I could add on to it, so a third option is you get someone to lie for you. But how often can you trust someone to lie for you to the end?
When you say lie for you, what in what way?
Well, like Julie. Julie didn't bring up to anyone that Dee dobbed them all in.
No, perfect. So if she brought that up, Dee now becomes the big target.
Dee becomes the big target. It's Dee's move again. Like, all of a sudden, Dee's the biggest target. So I guess option number three for that is, and the probably the best one to do in the new era would be you get someone to lie for you.
Mm. which they need incentive to do, which is very hard to give them incentive. Exactly.
It's very hard. And you could say, like, it wasn't smart for Julie to lie for D. Probably, maybe for one or two episodes, but then fucking blow her shit up and all of a sudden.
It's easy to say in hindsight.
Yeah, I know. It's very easy to say in hindsight.
Yeah, she didn't win the game and Dee did. So it's very easy to say, oh, she should have just said that. But if she does that, she probably blows up her game as well and they both don't win. So, yeah, you can't sort of say it after the fact.
Yeah, so like we talked about Liz's move with Tiffany last week. An option for Liz could have been go to Tiffany and be like, hey, Tiff, play your idol. They're all fucking coming after you. Play your idol. You'll be good to go. But then she's got to believe that Tiff is going to then not blow up her spot.
Yeah, which is unbelievable because any time where Tiff would feel threatened or feel like it might be her next, you pull that out of your back pocket and say, well, Liz told me to play the idol. And all of a sudden you have that trump card.
Exactly.
So that's why it's so hard. Yes. So I do think the sort of the meta game, the game is shifting in a way where you can't dictate a large proportions of the game anymore. And I know we've seen Charlie Maria do it, but now it's catching up with Maria especially.
Yeah. And when Charlie takes out Maria, the chances, as we've talked about, which we're pretty sure Charlie gets out at four, like Charlie then, like he gets a move, gets Maria out and fucking goes at four.
Well, I mean, at four is fire making. So if you're at the final four, I think that's as far as you can go playing the game. I think if you get the four, you're happy with that as a fan, and you'd be like, well, if I lose fire making because I'm the biggest threat, then I'm happy with that. You can't be upset that you're the biggest threat in the final four because if you win fire making, you win the game essentially.
Yeah.
And I know we've seen Jesse lose the game because of fire making.
He sucked. No, Jesse. Let's be frank about this. Jesse sucked at challenges and sucked at this sort of stuff. And I think anyone loses to Gabler in firemaking, he now holds the record for firemaking.
Yes, but if you're in that position where all I have to do is win a firemaking to win a game, that's the best you can do with your survivor game.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be taken to the final tribal council. You want to be the man who gets, I'm the biggest threat. Put him in fire.
Tommy Sheehan gets taken. Yeah. Gets taken through, wins the game. I think if you're good enough, Erica.
Yeah.
Like get someone to take you to the end. I think that's just as good a move.
Mm. If you can articulate why they did it and there's incentive for both parties, yeah, I guess. But I do think the biggest compliment is losing a final four fire making because you're the biggest threat. You know,
I'll agree with that. I don't know if that's the best thing you can do for you. Yes,
but we're both
alpha egotistical fucking players. Like we would. Yes, I'd be happy to get voted out of the to lose fire at the. No, I wouldn't actually. Fuck yous. I'm going to beat you at fire. But
I would be insulted to be taken to the end.
Exactly. I'd be insulted. How dare you take me to the end, my best friend?
Unless they're so loyal to me because, everyone loves me. But, it wouldn't happen.
Or, just kiss their ass. And you can beat me at the end. I'm just saying. Just beat me at the end. Just bring up all my moves. Are you actually your moves?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
One day.
All right. This is enough. Let's get into... Yep. What we talked about last week on...
Previously on Survivor.
All right, let's have a look back and see what we had. Last week we had John Tan, a great guest last week. Let's see what he said.
I think Kenzie or Liz could potentially be the targets.
Yeah.
I think Kenzie will probably be getting a few votes.
Who's going home?
Maybe Kenzie might.
So it wasn't John's finest hour. He was very uncertain about who would go, Kenzie or Liz. Ended up going Kenzie. I will say Kenzie did cop that one vote from Ben. We didn't discuss that. What do you think about that vote from Ben, Bucks?
Look, it's a little bit confusing. So what? So he's planning for Venus to play her shot in the dark, which means Q doesn't get a vote.
Yes.
And then she hits safe, Venus six votes for Venus, or five votes for Venus, and then what? It's they've still got the numbers. That makes no sense. I think it was a I think it was a futile vote. To be truthful, because they've still got the numbers in that scenario. They've still got Maria, Maria, Q, Charlie, and Ben. Just vote out Kenzie later, if Venus has a idol, Q hits his shot in the dark. It just doesn't. I think it was almost overplaying.
I think what you're missing is that if Venus hits a shot in the dark and there's no vote on Q, there's only one vote out there, which is Ben's vote. And it doesn't matter who it's for. He wants the person he votes for to go home if Venus hits a shot in the dark. So it doesn't matter what the decision is. The fact he's taken the agency into his own hands, he's not going to say, oh, well, we have the numbers, we can vote out whoever we want. It's, I have the numbers, I can vote whoever I want, and I've chosen Kenzie, which is strange because we see Kenzie and Ben as this, a bit of a thing from the merge. But if that's who he wanted, then give him credit. It could have paid off for him. If she played a shot in the dark. If she played an idol, there's an option to go Kenzie or Q. So credit Ben for that. Yeah. That's why he's my winner pick.
But JT, back to JT. JT, unfortunately, when you're uncertain, as we saw with Venus this episode and with Maria this episode, when you're uncertain, shit fucks up, you were wrong. I don't think we did a whole lot better. So let's hear what we had to say.
Let's see what you had to say.
So Charlie and Maria, one of them, I feel, unless someone catches on, they are getting to the end. So I'm going to go with Q survives next week. And
I agree.
Yep, and we see Liz go home.
Not your finest hour.
I don't think, have I got one right this season? Fuck, last season I picked like the whole season the whole way along. And this season I am just Gabon. Fuck you, Gabon.
You have a very selective memory where you think you picked the whole season. And didn't. Okay. That's okay. You got a tick for Q survives. Well done on that. Liz did not go home. And Charlie and Maria, we sort of said neither are we going to win. So I'll probably give it a cross for that.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a cross. It's a cross. And, dude, I reckon I did do really well last season. It's just we're getting worse at podcasting.
No, I think all you remember is the fact that you picked the winner and you're writing that. Yeah, that's all you have to talk about. I don't know if you went that well week to week.
I think I'm from memory. No, I think you did. Pretty okay. Sure I did.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, let's see what I had to say.
Yeah.
If you think about it, guess who's the swing vote next week? Q. So Q goes with the Seegers. I'm probably thinking Liz or Venus, but I'm going to go with Liz. Right. So
Q wasn't the swing vote. He is well and truly with the Seegers.
Well, yeah, so end up being Charlie the swing vote. And then, Liz or Venus, I was close. I almost got there and I went with Liz because why would they pick Venus? Why would they? It makes sense. It wasn't my best. Yeah.
All right. So we're both joking this season. Makes me feel better. Okay.
My winner pick's still there, but.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. I've gotten a winner pick. I've gotten two.
That's fair. I haven't yet. So this is the one.
But how did your winner pick go last season? The Australian Survivor season.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You don't lose points for first foods.
Okay. What do you think about?
Next time on Survivor.
Here it is. This whole episode was a setup for the next 2 weeks. I'm going to pick 2 weeks in advance. Can I do that? That would be silly, so I won't. I'll pick next week only.
It's the final five, so you got to pick the whole week.
Yeah, well, I'll wait till after next episode before I shoot my shot, but I do think it's a Q Maria back-to-back.
Yeah.
Who's going to be first? I think immunity comes into play. I think if Maria's not immune, it's Maria. I think Maria goes home next week if she's not immune. If she's immune, I think Q goes home. So I just think it's the right move at this time of the game. I think Charlie has enough cover to get to four still with Q there and Maria gone. Charlie is the nexus of power. Everyone wants to work with him. So he can afford to lose his number one because that number one is Q's number one. And they're seen as the pair now. And that's how we set it up. So Maria to go home next week.
I completely agree. I'm going to just agree with you and say, yes, I see a Maria than Q going 6-5. But I think it needs to be flipped for Charlie to have a chance to win the game. I disagree. Right. I think it's a bad move getting Maria out next at 6. I think he needs to hold on to her for one vote more, at least. Possibly even force it so then he goes up against her in fire if he's better than her at fire. But obviously, we don't know that. So,
I think what you have to remember as well is that Charlie has the immunity. He can win an immunity if he needs to. Exactly. Clutch immunity, if he gets there and he's got no cover and he's the big threat, all he's got to do is win the one and he's in fire making. So, he has that out as well.
Yeah. All right. Sweet. Let's eulogize the person that we've probably... Is it Q or Venus that was spoken more about this season?
It's got to be Q, doesn't it? Or Banu.
It's got to be Q. Oh, fuck. That name. Okay.
Love Banu.
All right. Well, let's talk about the second most talked about person this season. Well, actually, several's been brought up a lot. Jelinski's gotten a bit over.
Can we just jump on that real quick?
Yeah.
Enough with the several, Jeff. We've seen it. How many times are you going to say it? And when they walk in the challenge, they're like, how many left? And everyone's like, well, seven. And then, several. It's not funny
it's
anymore.
Happen.
It's done.
It's going to happen in two seasons' time as well, once everyone's like caught up.
The cow's been milked dry, Jeff. Stop with the several. That's my rant.
That went for several seconds. Okay. All right. Let's eulogize Venus. Look, Venus. Oh, where do you even start? As a player, I want you to just hold your breath. I don't want you to speak for a little bit.
Okay. I'll let you go, mate.
As a player, I think Venus has the foundation for a really good player. I really do. I think she has a great strategic mind. And I want to give her compliments. I really think that a lot of her thoughts and a lot of her options that she brought up were good options, especially for her and possibly for other people at the time. Unfortunately, her social game is... I'm not even going to get into it. Her social game, not good. Okay? Not a good social game. Not great reads. And I think that will come with age. I think that will come with maturity. She, as a character, she was fucking brilliant. I thought she was hilarious. I thought she was polarizing. I think what she brought to the community was great things, and I am glad to have seen her played. A memorable moment, I can't even think of one. There were that many good ones. Probably all her fuck-ups. There's nothing else that really pops into mind, but will she return? I want to say, should she return for season 50? No. I don't see her maturing in a year and a half's time or 2 years' time. Say season 55, season 60. I think we see Venus come back with some hindsight, with some perception, and some maturity, and I think she has a good chance to win the game. I think seriously, she has a strategic mind. That's why I'm telling you to shut up. No one can
You're
change
reading my mind.
No one can change my view on that. Okay? No one can change my view on that, no matter what you say. I think she has an option to return. Because of how polarizing a character she was. I think she returns on the character premise, not on the player premise. But if she gets a few years under her belt and gets a bit of a read on people, learns a little bit, I think she comes back and has a real shot at being a D-like player. I really do. Your turn.
I'm pausing for effect. I think you are delusional. I don't know what you've seen. Now, you've been banging this drum for a few weeks of this strategic mind Venus has, and possibly the only one I've heard to do it. No one else is thinking this. You've seen something in Venus that no one else has, which I respect. It's always fun to pick out parts of individuals. She might have these grandiose strategic plans, But the fact is, a good Survivor player turns these plans into action through sociability, likability. How about mixing with people without getting in fights with them? How about just talking to people normally? Like, she's done everything wrong most of this game.
Socially, I agree. Socially, I completely agree.
Which is the game of Survivor.
It's all good and
well to have these grand plans and all these ideas, but if you can't action them, they mean nothing. Yeah. Which is what she's done all game. Nothing. And I'm not a Venus hater. Like, do not... I'm not saying I don't
like it. I feel like you are.
No. The fact is, I enjoy the kooky characters. I enjoy the ones that are delusional. I enjoy the ones that don't understand perception and how they're perceived. I think that's a lot of fun. But I'm not on the Venus bandwagon. I don't... From the start of the season, people have been loving this girl, and I have not seen that. Which is rare, because usually I find those characters the best. I just haven't. And since the merge, I feel like she's only got less screen time. It's like, I haven't fallen in love with her like the rest of the fandom has. And maybe that's on me. But yeah, like, she's been okay as a character. I have enjoyed her in parts, but not to the level of others. As a player, very poor, like we said. Yeah, I think the best parts of Venus are probably like her Twitter rants and her fighting with people on Twitter. I think that's great. I think that's the memorable moment. Like, we'll remember if you were, you know, following online, like, she's fighting with everyone on her season, which is great, because why be diplomatic like Maria was? Just tell me what you think. You know? Yeah, I think that's one of the best attributes people can have. Blunt and just to the point, and I don't like you, and that's fine. So that's what I like about Venus. Will she return? I think, like you said, 50 is very soon, and she is young. I think she's 24, I think.
I thought she was even younger. I thought she was...
There you go.
I thought she was even younger. I thought she was like 20, 21. Like, I seriously don't have a number for you.
Yeah. So, like, what's the growth arc in that time? It's not
There's
that
nothing.
Big. Whereas if she comes back as a 30-year-old, like you said, maybe she's more polished as a communicator. Maybe she can get on with people better. And if this strategic mind that you've seen comes out...
I genuinely believe it's there. Her strategies were sound. She just had absolutely no way of pulling them off.
Yeah, I'm not even sure where you've seen these strategies, because they weren't presented on the TV screen. But that's fine. You've seen them, and I love that, because your in-depth analysis. It's fantastic. That's why we have a podcast. Yeah. what's your turn? Maybe she will, because she is polarizing, like you said.
Yeah.
But I listened to her ex interview, and I'm not sure that she wants to return.
It didn't sound like
she gave it a big okay.
It doesn't sound like she did. It sounds like she doesn't get along with anyone from the season, so she doesn't want... She'd return if there was no one from the season or some shit like that.
Yeah, which is fine, but like, it didn't sound like she was keen to get back on Survivor, which is fine as well. Like, she might do other things. I think in other games, she could be fun as well. But yeah, she was great. Wasn't my favorite, but I still enjoyed her. I don't want to... Let's not say that in. I enjoyed it, just not to the level of everyone else.
Okay. All right, let's get ready for my favorite part of the episode. Barkle's buff of the episode, brah. Let's get it on. Who you got for me this week? Where's your buff go, Mac?
Look, in a week of one player dominant episode, it's hard not to give it to Charlie. Like, he was so dominant in his confessionals, like you said, a record for a while, apparently. I didn't know that.
I'm not sure if that was last week or this week, but it was definitely high. Yeah.
But it was so visible, and a lot of it was good stuff. A lot of active positioning, pushing Maria forward as a shield, as a threat, pushing Maria and Q as a threat together. Didn't want to claim anything about Tiff, pushed that on Maria as well. A lot of these good things are great things to do. And he's like, if I can hide for one vote, which he did tonight, and I can push Maria and Q as the next two votes, I'm set. And that's how I see it playing out, because Charlie is doing a great job. He's social with every single person in the game, and no one else can say that at this point. Maybe Kenzie, but he's the only other one. So playing a great game. Great episode for Charlie. How do you not give it to him? Charlie gets the buff. Find ways. I know you're not going to give it to him. Why not?
I just don't think Venus was the right play for him. I think he had an option for a working relationship with Venus. And I think going for Q and being able to shroud that in mystery to a certain extent, I think he almost gets away with getting a Q out this week. And because Maria doesn't have the option but to work with him next week. I genuinely believe I'm giving my buff to Ben. I think Ben deserves the buff this week. I think it actually, I was probably going to give it to Charlie up until the point that we argued about Ben's vote for Kenzie. And that was the tipping point for me. I came into this, I've been tossing and turning between Charlie and Ben all weekend. And then Charlie just tipped out in front. And you've just driven the point home for me that I think Ben was the right person. I think Charlie was trying to weigh up who is it, who's smarter. Go for Ben, go for Q. I think to a point, Ben and Charlie are the strategic, like they're talking a lot more strategy than we're seeing. And I still believe that they're very, very close, even though Charlie looks like and seems like he's been with Maria this entire time. I think he's had a lot of chats with Q, with Ben. And Ben, I think, drove the point home for Charlie and pushed Venus going. I think Venus going is better for Ben. It gives that GOAT option in the final three, which Charlie's not going for the GOAT place. Ben probably is. And, yeah, Ben, I guess, reinforcing something, possibly getting a move out if Venus was to play the shot in the dark and hit or something to that effect. He's thinking more into this game than we're realizing, and I think he just gets he deserves my buff.
Yeah, look, he's my winner pick. I'm always going to back you up with that. And yeah, some good points there. I think, yeah, like the GOAT spot is a great point. And I think, yeah, like maybe he's thinking more than we think. That's why he was the only person to throw a vote somewhere else just in case. So
yeah,
all good points. Great, well deserved from Ben. And yeah, I love Ben. He's my winner pick. So yeah. Go on, Benny.
Yeah, Benny. Okay. That brings us to the leaderboard. So Ben gets his first buff of the season.
Wow.
Yeah, his first buff of the season. So he joins the voted out Hunter, Tim, Barnu, and Tevin, and also joins Liz, who got a buff at one stage. I forget when that was. Oh, the Tevin vote. Okay. In third place, we have it tied between Maria and Kenzie. And Charlie has just caught up to Tiffany in second place with four buffs. And Q continues on top of the leaderboard with five buffs.
Still on top.
I genuinely think Q could, like, Q gets one good episode, man. Like, there's only six buffs left to go. If Q does well, if Q gets through next episode, maybe he flips on Maria or some shit like that. Like, all of a sudden, bang.
He would have to have a good episode because the finale, generally, the winner gets all three buffs. It's hard not to give the winner the three.
Q wins the season.
If I can manufacture a Q win by throwing my buffs elsewhere, I will. So I'll just say that.
Hi, Mac. Tell me what you got going on this week.
Mate, it's all going on. I'm up, like I said, I'm up in Queensland for 2 weeks on a holiday. It's great. Having a good time. We're just chilling out, you know, just swimming in the pools. We've got this mad resort on Sandstone Point. Great for the kids. Lots to do. There's like a water slide theme park inside it. It's actually awesome. So yeah, just eating a lot, drinking a lot, playing with the kids. My wife, brother, and sister-in-law are out there right now waiting for me. We're going to watch Baby Reindeer. We started that last night. That's a lot of fun. Have you watched Baby Reindeer on Netflix? Hottest show out at the moment. Watch it. It's actually unreal. We watched three episodes last night, and they're keen to watch some more. So check it out. I recommend it. Everyone's already seen it, but except for you, Buck. So I don't understand how you haven't seen it.
Fair enough. I don't get into trends. I don't even. I don't know. The Umbrella Academy. Yeah.
This is based on true story. It's not superheroes.
Oh, there you go. Okay. All right, guys.
What about yourself? What are you up to?
I'm heading down to Melbourne next weekend. Just got back from the Goldie this weekend. Just always doing something.
You're a jet setter. You really get around the country, don't you?
I do. I like to see people. I like to talk shit. I like different people's perspectives from different areas of the country.
Love that.
Survivor keeps me busy. So that's always exciting.
Does it, but there's only 2 weeks to go, mate. It's going to be off season pretty soon, and there's no international Survivor coming.
Yeah, nah, you heard it here first. There will be off season podcasts from the 3BS boys.
It's exciting.
Yes, it is. It is very exciting. We've got some really cool things in the works with some very cool people. So get keen for that. We are planning to have, from now on, everything taped as best we can. So, YouTube, here we come. I will get a better camera, I promise.
The camera's fine, mate. It's not going to fix that face.
Okay. And, hey, at least now on camera, I can stick my root finger up at you properly, and it's not just like me doing it in vain. In the
Yeah, when you used to do it without the video, I'm like, I couldn't feel that hatred coming through, but now I get it. Now I get it.
Yeah, but guys, YouTube, hit us up. Okay, we are the BBB podcast at Buffs, Blindsides and Banter, which is exciting. Get us obviously on Facebook at Survivor Buffs, Blindsides and Banter. Get us on Instagram at Survivor_3BS. Get us on Twitter or X at Survivor3BS. And TikTok, this is getting exhausting, at TikTok at Survivor3BS. I've been Buckles, he's been Mac, and we've had a boys podcast, just the two of us, which has been nice.
It's been a while since it's been two of us. Adam Ritter next week, and then finale with Sam Green. So lots to come, but will be fun, no doubt.
Yes.
More TikToks this week, I've been told.
Yeah, you've all been awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Mac. Cheers, man.
See you, Buggles. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Is this Survivor? Are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.